Good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure to be here and talk about some of the key findings of our modeling work. Speaking of glyphosate resistance in boneyard grass, it has never been documented, but boneyard grass is one of those species that has historically shown a great tendency for evolving herbicide resistance. Globally, it is the sixth most important herbicide-resistant weed with at least 33 confirmed biotypes. And in Mid-South rice itself, resistance has been confirmed for propanil, quinchlorac, clomazone, and imacetapir. In jungle rice, which is a closely related species and with a fairly comparable demography, glyphosate resistance has been reported in Australia and in California. So given the history of herbicide resistance in boneyard grass and the amount of glyphosate selection pressure in Mid-South cotton, it's only a matter of time before we start seeing glyphosate resistance in boneyard grass, and we got to be proactive to prevent this. With this goal, we initiated a modeling project with two major objectives. Number one, to predict the risk of boneyard grass evolving resistance to glyphosate in Mid-South cotton. And two, to devise best management practices to prevent or delay resistance. Coming to the methodology, we used Stella, the visual programming language, for implementing the model. Different weed management scenarios were simulated for continuous monoculture Roundup Ready cotton. And we predicted boneyard grass emergence across some of the important cotton growing regions in eastern Arkansas using historical weather data. For each scenario, 1,000 model runs were performed over a 30-year period, and we consider resistance to have evolved if at least 20% of the seed bank consisted of resistant individuals. It was assumed that resistance was endowed by a single completely dominant gene with a mutation rate of 5 into 10 to the power minus 8, which means there were 5 resistant mutants for every 10 million seeds. The boneyard grass emergence curve was fundamental to the model. This curve was generated based on field data collected across 3 locations in Arkansas. As you can see here, we used the emergence curve to define different cohorts across the growing season from cohort 1 to cohort 7. And the management options correspond to each cohort from pre-plant applications to lay-by applications. To predict glyphosate resistance in boneyard grass, we have to really consider the historical shifts in weed management programs in the region. So the following chart kind of summarizes those changes for the Mid-South. By 2001, Roundup Ready cotton witnessed peak adoption. The cotton wouldn't tolerate glyphosate or layer applications, so they were directed often tag mixed with residual herbicides. But it's not until 2006 where the availability of flex cotton allowed for season-long sole applications of glyphosate. By 2009, the glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth has become a major issue, forcing a lot of farmers to shift to rather diversified herbicide programs. Now, there could be some farmers who only used glyphosate until 2009 and then shifted to a diversified program as they ran into the Palmer amaranth issue. Or there could be others who used residual herbicides until 2006 and then only used glyphosate ever since in the flex cotton. So the model analysis considers all these possible scenarios. Before we look at the results, I just wanted to show you how the different herbicide programs look like that we used in the model. If it's a glyphosate-only system, there was 5 straight glyphosate applications in a growing season without any other diversification of management. In a program with post-directed residuals, there was some level of diversity introduced by residual herbicides, S-metolachlor, prometrin, MSMA, flumioxazin. But the more diversified program is the one that was recommended for palm amaranth control in Arkansas. So you will see there's overlaying residuals throughout the growing season, which was more effective. Looking at the results, under 5 annual glyphosate applications since 2001, which is kind of a worst case scenario, this is what the model predicts. We have the years of simulation on the x-axis and resistance risk on the y-axis. the dotted line represents where we are now in terms of resistance risk. According to this model, glyphosate-resistant barnyard grass have already evolved in about 30% of the fields that adopted this the falls under this scenario. But there were very few, if any, fields that were continuously planted to Roundup-ready cotton since 2001, and that only received 5 applications of glyphosate and anything else. But there could be fields where glyphosate was post-directed with residual herbicides until 2006, and then glyphosate was applied solely in flex cotton. With this one, there is a huge reduction in the risk, but resistance is around the corner if this glyphosate-only program is continued to be used. And who knows, maybe it's already there in isolated cases, but just not documented or reported. The next scenario, which is possibly one of the common scenarios, is where glyphosate was applied until 2009 without any diversification, and then the growers were forced to use a diversified rotation after the Palmer amaranth issue. This one, you will notice that the risks were mitigated by adopting a diversified herbicide rotation. A key factor to consider here is that the herbicide program recommended for Palmer amaranth control was very effective in managing barnyard grass. The final scenario, which is not very different from the previous one, except that the post-directed residuals were used until 2006, there were no risk, at least within the 30-year simulation period. So just to sum up, we may never see widespread glyphosate resistance in barnyard grass if farmers have shifted to more diversified programs to manage glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth. On the other hand, the risks are high in fields that are still using glyphosate with limited or no diversity. After this, we use the model to understand how different management practices could be used to prevent or delay resistance. Specifically, we looked at planting dates and cultivation, crop trait rotations, and different herbicide rotations. Let's look at the influence of planting dates and cultivation on the evolution of resistance. The dark circles represent normal planting on May 1. This curve also corresponds to the worst-case scenario where nothing but glyphosate was applied on a continuous Roundup-ready cotton. If we delayed planting for 2 weeks, there's a slight increase in risk, whereas if we can advance cotton planting by 2 weeks, we can reduce the risk with a considerable delay in evolution of resistance. Let me show you what happens here. With normal planting, the peak emergence of barnyard grass coincides with early cotton growth stages. Thereby, the weed greatly escapes crop competition and produces a lot of seeds. Whereas, if you can advance cotton planting, that way the peak emergence coincides with crop canopy formation. So, manipulating planting dates is a very simple but very effective tool, but we got to have a good understanding of weed emergence patterns. Then we looked at replacing glyphosate application with a cultivation, either at third post or at second post. They're effective in reducing the risk and also delaying resistance. But if you could cultivate both at second and third post, it's even more effective. Of course, cultivation is not an option in conservation tillage programs, but if it is possible, it's going to be a great tool in the toolbox. Now let's see how different crop trait rotations influence resistance evolution. Again, this is the glyphosate-only system, a worst-case scenario. And for these rotations, we use standard herbicide programs crops. I kind of summarized them in the table. You have pre-plant options to lay-by option, different rotational crops that we consider in the model. You have Roundup Ready corn and Roundup Ready, Libertiling corn. You don't have any pre-planned application, and typically we only have two applications in the growing season. We also have a Libertiling cotton option where you have no diversity, nothing but glufosinate, so it's five glufosinate applications. And if you have a Libertiling with a diversified program, you have residuals with glufosinate and also a non-transgenic conventional cotton where you have residual herbicides and cultivation with it. So let's look at the results. By rotating Roundup Ready cotton with Roundup Ready corn or Libertiling corn, again, it's definitely beneficial. You're able to reduce the risk and also delay the time taken for resistance evolution. But really and truly, you could get similar weed control benefits by rotating with Libertiling cotton, which only used nothing but glufosinate over the season. That if you could diversify your management program in the rotational crop, you can further reduce the risks. In this case, this was even comparable to planting a non-transgenic conventional cotton. So crop and trait rotations are important, but what's more important is the diversity of management programs that goes into the rotational crop. The goal here is to reduce the seed bank population to very low levels, and you will be able to achieve it with diversified programs. And of course, the crop and trait rotations allow you, or they give you an opportunity to diversify your management tools. Coming to herbicide rotations. Again, this is the glyphosate-only system with five annual applications in a continuous Roundup Ready cotton. Here, firstly, we used a number of scenarios in glycol cotton, which allows for simultaneous applications of glyphosate and glufosinate. In the first scenario, we have glycol with three glufosinate applications and two glyphosate applications, which is way better than using two glufosinate applications and three glyphosate applications, which means if you're able to reduce or if you're able to eliminate the number of glyphosate applications, the better off you will be. But the timing of application is also important. For example, when we tank mixed glyphosate with clethodim applied at second post, we were able to get better results compared to applying at the first post, because what happens is the second post application coincides with the peak emergence of Borneorga. So we have to always keep in mind, are we targeting the majority of emergence? And then we looked at how different residual herbicides or residual herbicide options are valuable. Just by including a pre-plant residual, we were able to delay resistance greatly. But overlaying residuals are very important to prevent escapes. Especially the early season residuals are more important than post-only residuals, because what happens is we cannot tolerate early season escapes because they are the ones that produce the large number of seeds. And obviously, they're the ones contributing greatly to resistance evolution. Just to sum up, diversify herbicide modes of action. It is very important, especially with overlaying residual herbicides. But make sure, at the very least, you have overlay residuals at the early season, because they're the ones, those escapes are the ones contributing greatly to resistance evolution. But watch out that you have a full activation, because if you don't activate, you won't get the full benefits of those residual herbicides. And crop and trait rotations are always useful, but the diversity of management options that goes into rotational crops are more important than the rotation per se. And don't forget that herbicide resistance is a numbers game, so we have to always make sure we are keeping the seed bank population to low levels. And more importantly, we have to adopt integrated management strategies, because the diversified herbicide rotations, they do not address polygenic herbicide resistance in wheat populations. And moreover, they're not always preferable. So one should aim at using every possible tool available at their disposal. With that, I would like to thank financial support from BASF, Monsanto, Valent, Dow Agro Sciences, Syngenta, and Cotton Incorporated. Also, thank your attention. I can take any questions at this point.
If you have any questions, will you please catch them in the hall in order to stay on time?
Sure.
We'd like to get on to our next speaker. Thank you very much.
Thank you.